Pentecost. Pentecost is the story of an extraordinary event in the life of the church and the life of, well, everyone who was there. I just had it read for us, where the Holy Spirit came in a new way, an extraordinary way, with tongues of fire, whatever that looked like, mighty wind inside the house instead of outside the house, like we're used to here in the prairies. And the Holy Spirit came. And when we think of Pentecost, often that's where we think, is that moment, that experience that those early believers had. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should think that. We shouldn't lose sight of the historical parts of what we believe, because they're there. They're real. They're not made up. They're not just sort of window dressing. They're important, and we do need to pay attention to them. But was the most extraordinary thing on that day, people speaking in languages that they themselves didn't know in such a way that those who did know them felt they were listening to native speakers? Because you can't fool people with that. Anyone who's spent any time in another country where they speak a completely different language than you, you always know someone who has learned your language and someone who has always known your language. That sense of familiarity and home. It's a good feeling. And that's what these people felt. But was that the most extraordinary thing that happened that day? Well, I don't think it was. Let's take a moment to think about how God interacted with his people from not quite the beginning of everything, but from the fall onward. When we read in the Old Testament, what we see over and over again is that particular people were called out in one way or another. Sometimes they were called judges, sometimes they were called prophets, sometimes they were called kings, sometimes they were prophetesses. Just so you know, it was all people were eligible. There was always a possibility. And then as the Jewish religion became more codified, is the wrong word to probably to use, but more of a stable kind of thing. We had priests, and then we even had high priests. One high priest. And do you see what I'm noting here and what I'm getting at? That for a long, long time, God mediated his goodness, his grace, his desires, his call upon us, for the most part through an individual who then put it out to everyone else. And that doesn't mean that God didn't speak to other people. It certainly didn't mean that all couldn't come to God in prayer. But there was this feeling that you needed to find the person who God had anointed or God had called if you wanted to know what God had in mind. And if you wanted to connect with God in a significant way, you needed to find that person. And there's nothing wrong with needing to find somebody, looking for expertise, for example. If there's something wrong with me physically, I want to find a doctor. No offense to the rest of you. I'm sure your advice is good in many ways. But if there's something wrong with me, I probably want a doctor to tell me what's wrong with me. If I don't know what to do with my taxes, I'm going to find an accountant rather than a doctor. It's just one of those things. There's nothing wrong with some people having particular expertise. But something happened at Pentecost. Something that had never happened before. The Holy Spirit had always been at work on earth. There's never a time when the Holy Spirit wasn't God, when the Holy Spirit wasn't here. But in the same way that there was never a time when Jesus wasn't, but he came in a special way in the incarnation, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in a special way. And what I want us to think about is found not so much in our Acts reading of the story of the events of Pentecost, but more in Paul's letter to the church at Corinthians, at Corinth, 1 Corinthians, and in particular, verse 7. Where Paul writes, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Before this moment If you wanted to know, if you wanted to see the Holy Spirit at work, you pretty much needed to go and find that person. Whether it was the high priest, whether it was a judge, a prophet, a holy person, during the incarnation, Jesus himself. You needed to go that route. It didn't mean that you couldn't connect with God in other ways, because of course you could. The sacrificial system was all about you connecting with God. There was provision made there when you didn't have a priest around. You could still provide sacrifices. But something different happened then. If you wanted before this moment to make an organizational chart, not sure why you'd want to, although they do have their value. If you want to make an organizational chart of God's reaching out to his people, it would look like most organizational charts. You'd have the high priest and then other priests, and it would sort of work its way down. Well, the organizational chart as of this moment is completely flat. For the first time, everyone received the same Holy Spirit in the same measure for the same purpose, the building of Christ's body on earth. I don't know when you came to faith, whether it was one of those moments as an older person where you went forward at a meeting, or you were interacting with someone more mature in the faith who led you through a prayer of some sort, or whether there's never been a time when you haven't had a relationship with God. I don't know if anyone took the time to tell you that when that happened, the Holy Spirit came along and spiritual gifts came along. But they did. As soon as you move into a relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit is part of you in a way that will be there forever. And you are given spiritual gifts. Some people seem to be given lots. Some people seem to be given gifts that show up at particular times when the church needs them. But everyone with that relationship has a spiritual gift. And they're all critical. They're all vital to the health of the church. It's easy for us because, well, it's just easy for us to do this kind of thing, to decide what's more important than something else. And you'll have people that make, a lot out of Paul telling us that we should desire the greater gifts. That doesn't make that much of a difference. You'll have people that tell you that the gifts of being up front are the ones that really matter. The gift that I have involves preaching, looking at Scripture, listening to the Holy Spirit as best I can to see what these passages of Scripture have for us this day. It might be different 3 years from now when we hit these passages again as the lectionary takes us through it. And there are people who will tell you, well, that's the important gift. There are people who tell you that the gift of prophecy, that gift of not telling the future, that's a very small part of prophecy, but that gift of declaring God's purpose for a particular group of people or a person for a particular time with the power of the Holy Spirit, they'll say that's a gift that really matters. And I'll say, yes, it is, as long as every other gift really matters too, because they all matter. And Paul obviously knew this was going to be a problem, or perhaps it had already become a problem, because if we read past what was read for us this morning, we see Paul reminding people that we are the body of Christ. It's a mystical body. We're not connected to each other the same way our own parts of our body are connected to each other. But it's an apt analogy, because there's no part of our bodies we can do without. Ask anyone who's lost part of it. Sure, we can come up with prostheses that are excellent. We can replace joints and things now, but I'm pretty sure that if you ask my mother-in-law if she could have her old hip back only fixed, she would take that rather than the one they put in. We aren't built to just suddenly not have part of us. And the spiritual gifts that we all bring to the church are just like the parts of our own physical bodies. They're part of what make us whole. And we need them all. when Paul anthropomorphizes the various parts of the body and has them speaking to each other, saying, well, I don't belong. I'm not a hand, or I'm not an eye, I'm not important. It's mildly amusing that we think our body parts might talk to each other. But that's exactly what we do in the church frequently. We say that my gift really doesn't matter because it's just serving. It's just administration. It's just faith. Oh yeah? Well, mine is just preaching. Because they're all at the same level. And if you want to diminish mine, you've diminished everybody else's too. So why bother? Instead of diminishing them, let's just look at them for what they are and say, these are gifts from the Holy Spirit that this local community, this manifestation of the body of Christ, might accomplish what it needs to accomplish, whatever that is. And we depend on people with gifts of wisdom and discernment to tell us what that is. There's no gift we can do without. They are all as vital to the health of this church as any other one. And that came at Pentecost. Before that, you did have to find the person who had that special conduit to heaven. You had to find the person who had the gift of providing all that a particular faith community might have needed. The high priest, the king, the anointed prophet. Well, we're all kings and queens. We're all anointed prophets. We're all high priests, if you want to look at it that way. Because we are all at the same level. There is no hierarchy in the church. Oh, there's administrative structures that make it easier to figure out who to talk to when something needs to be done. But that's not a hierarchy, that's just a convenience. The gift of what makes an elder is acknowledged in the people in this faith community, in this church. And we say, we see that you are an elder, so we're going to make you one. Or we're going to recognize it because God, through the Holy Spirit, already made you one. And you are going to care for particular things. And so when those things need to be cared for, we go and talk to the elders. Not because they're better than us, not because their gifts are more significant, but because that's how you do it. We're not telepathic. We go and talk to each other. We discuss things. We have meetings. We see what the Holy Spirit has revealed to each of us to make sure we make the best decisions possible. All this came at Pentecost. Pentecost brought the drama of an indoor cyclone and tongues of fire, whatever those looked like. They've changed as I've gotten older. When I was young, I thought it was like a tongue, like a cow's tongue, not a human's tongue. It wasn't big enough, but I knew what cows looked like. A cow's tongue, only made out of fire. I wish I could draw, because that's just such a weird picture that I had in my head, and I think I remember it. I think it would be kind of interesting. Not quite heresy, but maybe close. Those things came, to be sure. But what came more than anything else was the unmistakable gifting that God provided through the Holy Spirit to every single member of his body on earth. I suspect the lectionary is going to be moving us through spiritual gifts over the next little while, so it'll come up again and we'll talk about it again because it's important. It's important that we remember how vital they are and how vital each one is. Because it's just, well, it's frustrating to me when people diminish their own gifts and say, well, it's just. And my usual response now, as I've grown up and express frustration in different ways, when people say, well, but I just helped. And I say, yeah, and I just preached. And what they usually say is, oh, well, I couldn't do that. Exactly. I can't do what you do either. A church that only has preachers in it would be extremely odd. And there'd be an awful lot of bored people out there waiting till they could get up and do it. Most churches only have a few people. Most churches only have one who's called to do this. But that doesn't mean that it's somehow higher than anything else. It's that one person can do this part, but it's impossible for one person to provide all the service that any church needs. We need many people with that gift because every church has needs, and it's the people with the gift of compassion, of service, of helping that make that happen. I'd put it to you that for a temporary period of time, because the spiritual gifts are given in a way that aren't exactly the same as your hands and your feet and your arms and legs and things, you can actually do without the gift of preaching for a while. You can't do without the gift of service for a week. If you want to look at a hierarchy of gifts, you should probably turn it upside down from what most people think. And once we get that little thought exercise out of the way, let's never do it again. The gifts are equal because the Holy Spirit gives to all the gift that they need and that the church needs from them. Pentecost brought that. Pentecost brought the leveling of everyone in the church, not by diminishing everyone to the lowest common denominator, but raising everyone to the same level as a disciple, as an apostle. And when it comes to ministering to human beings on earth, we're raised to the same level as Jesus, because that's what he did. We're not divine, but we're doing the same thing that he did. And that's what came at Pentecost. Pentecost came saying that you are equipped to do what you need to do so that God's purposes on earth will be met. It doesn't say that some of you will do it better than others, or that some of you will have a better gift than others. It says that each of you will be given a gift for the common good. We are all gifted people. Pentecost brought that. The drama that we notice when we read Acts is a good kickstarter for our thinking. But if it doesn't have us ending up here with a Holy Spirit who loves us all, has indwelt us all, has given us all the gifts that make us all better, then Pentecost is just a dramatic story. This is the true message of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit has come in a brand new way, indwelt all of God's people, given us the gifts that we need to do what we've been asked to do. Celebrate Pentecost, of course, but let's remember what we're actually celebrating. Not a fancy scene in a closed room, the Holy Spirit within us all, enabling us to do the work of God for the people of God and the creation of God. Amen.